It's time to go under the Friday night lights with a look at the big game of the week.
Well, last week, Steve, I take a look at your FinalScore.tv leaderboard, your rankings page in the 4A, and I see a couple of Kingco teams, and we talked about those two teams last week in our big game of the night, where Woodinville beat Skyline by a touchdown to improve to 8-0, and Skyline was dropped to 6-2, but both those teams still in the top 10. And then we go to Wesco this week. I see 8-0 Monroe ranked at 6th in the state. I see 8-0 Lake Stevens ranked at 7th in the state. So what better way to decide a Wesco championship than to head on up to Lake Stevens High School and just battle it out between two undefeated teams?
Yeah, it was going to be an exciting one because both of these teams have really just run train on everyone that they've played this year. And this was
like
going to be
run train.
The first real true test for both teams came in the final game of the season for a league title. And, you know, I know both teams were jacked. I think Monroe might have been a little too hyped in going into this game. As the teams, you know, entered the field to get the game going, Monroe actually got on the center logo on midfield, and they were jumping around and stuff.
Before the game.
And Lake Stevens wasn't too happy to see that. And so there was a little bit of, you know, you could tell there was a little bit of a rivalry aspect to this game, but great atmosphere. I mean, the buildup was incredible.
Approved thing, or is it something that just the kids decided? Could you tell?
I think it was a team plan type thing that they just kind of went out there and then they kind of, you know, said, all right, guys, let's get back to the sidelines. Let's get this game going. But
boy, nothing like riling up the Lake Stevens crowd. Yeah, huh?
Absolutely. Standing room only. I think the entire town of Monroe was there on the other side. So great environment going to the game. When it got started, though, Lake Stevens, they got the opening kickoff, and they were able to move the chains here and there, and there was a third and long around midfield, which they were able to convert. And that set up a 45-yard Blake May touchdown less than 2 minutes into the contest. So kind of caught everyone off guard. Didn't think that this was going to be such a quick score just based on how good the Monroe defense has been all season. Following that, Monroe, they weren't able to really generate much of a response. And Lake Stevens, they just took full advantage. They got the ball in the hands of their premier playmaker, Hunter Ekstrom. There was some doubt whether he was going to even be able to play in this game. He had a bit of a sore hamstring, but he took a pitch out of the backfield, 63 yards, to give him a two-score lead less than 6 minutes into the ballgame. So it was 14-0 early, and Monroe really needed to get something going. They started to shoot themselves in the foot, though. They went the other way. Instead of trying to rally back, they coughed up the ball moments later, handed it right back to the Vikings. As the second quarter got going, Connor Bardu, their quarterback, who has done a fantastic job this year filling in for Lake Stevens. Huge shoes to fill.
I mean, Jacob Eason is at Georgia now playing.
Yeah. He kind of got his rhythm going. He threw really well on the run, you know, as well as, you know, being planted in the backfield and thrown downfield. He found Josh Rasmussen from 33 yards out to give him a 21-0 lead, and the route was on. The Bardu Rasmussen battery, they were able to combine for four touchdowns in the game, one of which occurred immediately after an act of just pure highway robbery by Anthony Hutchinson. He just plucked the ball right out of the Monroe ball carrier's hands, and shortly thereafter, Rasmussen was in the end zone. At halftime, it was 35-0 in favor of Lake Stevens. Total yardage was 298-74 in favor of the Vikes. Just a complete display of domination. J.J. Jerome, their running back up there for the Bearcats, never gotten a rhythm. And the vaunted lines that we've been talking about from Monroe were really neutralized in this game. I mean, the Vikings were just a hungrier team. They were tackling. They were first on the ball. I mean, it was just a real dominant effort. The running clock eventually took effect in the third quarter. Rasmussen's fourth and final touchdown put the team up over the requisite 40 points to have the clock just tick, tick, ticking. Monroe finally did get on the scoreboard in the form of a field goal to bring it to 42-3 and kind of bring the clock back into its normal functioning way of stopping after intercept or, you know, incomplete and stuff like that, dead balls. And 42-3 remained the final score in this one. Lake Stevens, they're going to claim the 4A Wesco crown with that, the number one overall seed tonight. They're going to play the fifth seed in the NPSL, whoever that ends up being. Monroe's going to take the number three seed. And I think overall, Lake Stevens lucks out because now they'll get a host up to two home games right off the bat in the playoffs instead of having to travel in week two should they advance after the first week.
So my guy J.J. Jerome gets shut down. Now, was it more of a – were they still trying to go to the running game even when they were down 2-3 touchdowns, or did they pretty much just abandon the run and start throwing, which is not really their forte?
For the little amount of time that they had the ball, I mean, the time of possession was super lopsided as well as the score, but they were feeding the ball pretty heavy on Jerome, and you know, you can only do so much when you can't even get to the line of scrimmage without being hit. So, you know, he was unable to really get any openings, and so, you know, no points for him, and just a dominant effort.
You know, when I think of Lake Stevens, I guess I just have this image of a high-flying offensive attack that may give up some points on the other side. But it sounds like you're telling me that their defense is every bit as good as their offense. I mean, and have they been? You know, you've seen Lake Stevens numerous times the last couple of years. Have they had a stout front seven?
Not. I mean, I think your assertion is pretty accurate. They don't have the biggest front line. I just think that they're good at, like, they're sound tacklers. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't let teams get a lot of yards after contact. They wrap up. They're opportunistic. I mean, they came up with a few fumbles today. They take advantage of their turnovers, and you know, they just they always have good linebackers too. I mean, Hunter Ekstrom was playing defense too, mm-hmm. and he was kind of the anchor in there as well. So, just a great effort overall.
Wow, what a fantastic win for Lake Stevens, and they are looking you know, not only at rising up your polls, but also, I mean, they are right there. I mean, this is a how many 4A teams would you say? I mean, how deep do you have to go in the poll before you say that would be a surprise if that team won the state championship?
I think about a half dozen teams. I think are legitimate. Like,
so
I could
Sumner,
see them winning.
Camas, Richland, Woodinville, Graham Kapowsin, and Lake Stevens. Do we go as far as Chiawana?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Chiawana, Lake Stevens, and Richland might be a little bit lower than those first three you mentioned, but okay. I think Sumner, Camas,
Woodinville, Graham Kapowsin.
Woodinville, Graham Kapowsin are really up there at the top.
Wow. Wow. It's going to be a great 4A. It's going to be a fantastic tournament.
I'm super excited for it.